Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Beyond the Gate Radio. This is our August 11th, Sunday edition of Beyond the Gate Radio. I'm your host, David M. Baker, and my co-host, Sherelle Baker. Hello, Sherelle. How are you doing?
Fabulous, David. Thank you so much. I can hear our grandfather clock clanging in the background, letting us know we are right on time and we are ready for the show. I'm glad to have all of our listening family listening to, and a lot of people that will be listening in to archive because they have to work tonight, unfortunately. Also like to say hello to all of our friends. Nick is in chat, as always. Thank you, Nick, for being a valuable part of this radio station as well. I'm excited to have our special guest here tonight. How are you doing today, David?
Amazing. It's perfect weather. It's about 81 outside, clear skies, a little breeze. I'm doing good. Also, I'd like to thank all of our regular listeners, and too many to name at this particular time, but you know who you are. And a quick shout out for the Psychic Twins, Terry and Linda Jameson.
Woohoo!
They've made predictions on a show before. We haven't had too many astrologers here, but I don't know a lot about astrology. It's not my specialty, but I hope the audience can learn something from our guest tonight, Michael Vanderpool. Amazing, amazing person. And since I'm, you know, sometimes Terry and Linda Jameson, Psychic Tunes, give a shout out for us on their other shows they're on. So I'm giving them a shout out tonight. Go to psychictwins.com. They're prior guests on the show. If you want to find out more about them or their books, Separated at Earth, their bio, and their newest book, Psychic Intelligence, is totally amazing. And there's our shows are archived. I'm just in a good mood, so I'm trying not to laugh. But our shows are archived on the site, and they're also free from Apple iTunes. And if you like our show, please press the follow button. And now I want to tell you a little bit about our amazing guest tonight. He's the first time on our show, and he is astrologer and intuitive consultant, Reverend Dr. Michael R. Vanderpool. He is an intuitive astrologer, internationally known and traveled in over 24 countries, and perhaps even more by now. And he's a member, I hope I pronounce this right, of the Magi Society, the APA, which is the American Press Association, and Legal Shield. He's also a former nursing home administrative assistant. He's also, like I was too, a black belt in Taekwondo, which is an amazing Korean martial art. And by the way, my brother is an instructor in Taekwondo as well. What a small world. Anyway, he uses Magi astrology and other astrology and his intuition to predict life events and times with you and for you weeks or months before those events take place. And he will help you navigate the course ahead and have a deeper insight into the soul and timing for best success, combined with cutting-edge research in the most modern-day astrology. By aura, video, and character, he is a true adult indigo. He's also,
wow.
Yeah, he's an indigo just like we are.
That's right.
He's also the author of an extremely accurate predictive e-book, A Storm Warning for Israel, Spring, Summer of 2007. His YouTube and Facebook astrological heads-up for May and June 2011 was again down to the day accurate in reference to the UN meeting in Rome in Italy, May 5th, 2011. In sum total, so far, he has made 5 successful, public, accurate, documented, published beforehand predictions on major geopolitical events and financial market moves a month or two in advance before they occurred, down to the week or day they happened. See his documented proof of this site for more on his website. His fixed star angle on the moment at birth is Menkar, the empath, interpreted as one who can sense or know the future. And for more information, go to Michael's website, which is http://universal. I'll just spell it here. universalstar.gs/about/us7jl8.html. Sherelle, you can have to post that on the website.
I definitely will. I'll do that right now.
Okay. Anyway, you know, all kinds of websites have interesting URLs, but in this case, all you have to do is click on the link. And if you go see Michael Vanderpool on Facebook, on this About Us page, he has that information as well. But anyway, anything that I couldn't or didn't clear up when I was speaking about Michael just now, we're going to have him on to tell you about any goof-ups I made or anything he wants to make clear. So, Sherelle, without any further ado, let's have our esteemed guest on, Michael Vanderpool. Welcome to the show.
Hi, David and Sherelle. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you so much for being here. So, Michael, welcome to the show. As, you know, a lot of people have been waiting, you know, for you to join us today and see what you have to say. You are a really interesting person. I would like to say the most interesting astrologer in the world, if I may.
Well, thank you for that. It's been an interesting journey, that's for sure, and I'm always hoping that I'll continue to grow with that and continue to learn as I go.
You know, that's very wise. Now I know you're good, because none of us know everything, no matter how long we've been doing it. It's still a learning process. And to just get the listening audience to be a little bit more familiar with you, to know you a little bit better, could you tell us first a little bit about how did you come from, you know, a young man to the world of the metaphysical through astrology, your intuition and all that? How did that occur?
Well, there was actually, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think that it came in kind of two steps initially. The first step was that I had actually watched the movie What Dreams May Come with the main actor Robin Williams, and that really opened up my eyes to the metaphysical concepts of reincarnation and some deeper insights there with the whole metaphysical realm and the idea that there's much more to the soul and to the spirit than just maybe even this life. And that began really to open up my eyes. And then also, as far as the astrology itself, I had heard Dr. Louis Thierry on a Rens.com interview, and I called in and talked to him gave my information, and he had me described really well in just a sentence or two. And I had, since that time, I started to study Western astrology and some about Dr. Therese's method, as well as the metaphysics in general, and actually had studied probably 2 years after that point exercises and practice exercises in the Western magical tradition, and also not only a daily practice with that and those types of exercises, but also continuing to study Western astrology at that point predominantly, asking friends, family that would come by, or, you know, running the charts and getting insight or feedback as to whether, you know, how accurate those things or helpful those things would be for people. And it's kind of some tragic event that happened that kind of pushed me further into that, and also later with my health, and that really pushed me to look literally forward and ahead, as well as into some of the more deeper aspects of life and spirituality in general.
That's very interesting. A lot of people seem to come up to certain things in their life which change them to look into another direction and open their mind. And I suppose all you've been through, it's like finding gold ore. You can't really enjoy it until that gold ore goes through the fire and all the process of smelting and shaping and polishing before it comes out useful. And I guess that's where your journey took you to. So landing in astrology mainly, that's one thing I would like to ask you, if you can explain to some of the people that, you know, everybody knows about astrology, but we really don't know, if you know what I mean. Could you just explain a little bit about how astrology works or what it is?
Sure. There's various kinds of astrology, and I'm currently really focused mostly, or used mostly, Magi astrology, because there's a particular aspect of it that has 20 years of research on over 100,000 people that really reveal the importance of Chiron to the astrology of love and money. And the Magi Society called it the Max Study, and that has been absolutely incredible. It's been very accurate, very high rate of accuracy in dealing with people on issues of love or money when we're looking at the astrology of Chiron. But there's also, you know, there's the fixed stars astrology that I look at also for people and keep an eye on that, so to speak. But there's also the Vedic astrology, which I have what I consider to be one of the best predictive works in book form on that Vedic science, so the Vedic astrology. But it lacks any of this new research about Chiron, for example. So I guess the Western astrology is more dependent upon exact birth time. And if you don't have a pretty good idea of an accurate birth time, you really can't be absolutely sure sometimes about the accuracy in that. And the beautiful thing about Magi astrology is that a lot of people don't know their exact birth time, and if they think they do, there's other factors such as, you know, the standard time versus daylight savings time, and the accuracy of the the nurse or the doctor that was there at the time of birth, and if they actually took it, for example, accurately. So these factors in Magi astrology are not nearly as important for astrology like the Western or the Vedic astrology. And I've also worked with Kabbalistic angel astrology, and that's really fascinating. But that too requires a very accurate birth time. There's a variation in that of every 4 minutes. There's a change in how that works. So there's quite a different number of schools of astrology. And at this time, I'm mainly focused on the Magi astrology, though certainly I have an eclectic view and an eclectic use of astrology.
Okay. That's very interesting.
I'd like to... Oh, sorry, David. Michael, I'd like to have you expand a little bit on that, on the angel astrology, if you would.
Sure. This is really fascinating to me because it really hit home hard for me. When I first did my what's called the Kabbalistic Angels Horoscope, using a Kabbalistic calculator from Amalux Herbal and from Merkur Publishing also is carrying this Kabbalistic calculator. But it has to be used with a book by a great magician of the last century named Franz Bardon. And this book is called The Practice of Magical Levitation. And in it, it has Kabbalistic spheres, which have the earth, what's called the earth's own intelligences, for example, which have a number of angelic, they would call them angelic or intelligence or genii and so on, rulerships or intelligent beings that are in those spheres. And they have a certain specialty, or they help in this school of thought or this type of astrology. It's said that these Kabbalistic forces are present at the time of birth, and they're kind of gifting or challenging, as I would say, the person, the human being, to certain skills or certain gifts in their life. And so when I first did my horoscope, I was blown away because one of the things that there was a mercurial sphere intelligence, and his specialty was to liberate the insane from their unfortunate state, as well as help with the deaf and the blind. And that was very interesting to me at the time because I was actually in Tbilisi, the Republic of Georgia, a country that I've spent a sum total of 4 years in over the last 7 or 8 years or so. But the point at that time was is that previous to that, I had done some work in a special program for the state of Missouri called the Fulton 55. I used to run what was called Vanderpool Care Incorporated, and it was a small residential care facility or home in a residential setting for my father, for my family.
Wow.
And at that time, the state had come and said, because I would call them because they had a competing nursing home in the area get bought out and added on to the local hospital's complex's nursing home. And I end up taking the offer from the state of Missouri to go down and participate in this Fulton 55 program, which was where they may spend, I think it was $7,000 to $10,000 per month on a very severely mentally ill person to keep them in the Fulton State Hospital. And I would take them into our care facility at that particular time. This is many years ago, but it was over a period of 5 years total, but I think maybe 3 years I was actually working with these folks in a program to integrate them back into the community as much as we could and still provide protective oversight under the state of Missouri's licensing rules and procedures. So I actually took three individuals that were profoundly mentally ill. I actually went to the mental hospital, sat down with them face to face, and you could say literally liberated them in a sense from that particular institutional setting into a residential setting. And then on top of that, they were very heavily medicated, and we were able to get them, you know, less. They didn't need to be so medicated when they were in our care structure here. And
wow, amazing. That is amazing because that's, you know, so many people just want to throw medication at it and call it a day instead of actually sitting down and working with people. So that is amazing.
And that particular horoscope and that particular detail was just mind-blowing to me because I'd actually done that particular work in that way, and that was just so amazing to me. And there were other aspects of that horoscope, such as the angel over the movement of breath or the dealing with prana. And I'd done that for those years, a couple of years, with working with Western magical traditions, exercises of this moving of the circulation of the body of light, and moving, you know, literally kind of energy in tune with the breath, or balls of light with in tune with the breath, and for the purpose of being able to maybe move that energy through the hands for a healing purpose, or even, you know, from a distance into someone, so to speak, for the purpose of healing. And so those there was some other aspects to it too. Later, I got into some work with my own health challenges at the time with a doctor that used to be actually a research scientist that used to be with the National Institutes of Health for 11 years. He does remote transmission of frequencies targeting specific viruses and bacteria for elimination in tandem with the use of an actual contact device that gets into rife and scalar wave electromagnetics and things that most people probably can't even pronounce in some cases. But it's really a kind of a high technology. But these other angels have to do with that too. They have to do with the transmission of things over long distances or remotely, and radionics and things like that, if I remember right. I don't know if it was in the same term or use of that word for that. But I ended up traveling the world, basically, and communicating about this medical equipment that I was using, this research equipment that I was using, to this doctor. And that was a very big, heavy part of that horoscope as well, in helping to give feedback on the development of his research with that, the Frequency Foundation.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for elaborating on it. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Well, I know, being a medium, that, and this is kind of a question, before, I used to wonder, well, I was born on June 3rd, and if somebody reads my astrological sign and says all this right stuff about me, I'm wondering, now how could that be? Then I thought that perhaps, before we come here in spirit, we have what's called Akashic Records, and everything about us is contained in that. And do you think that before we're born, we come here, we are destined to be born just at the right time that aligns with our history, so that when somebody does read us, it's all accurate? Is that one possibility that could be?
The idea that I subscribe to is maybe that the moment that the head crowns the birth canal and gets an imprint of that astrological energy, but yet at the same time, I agree with what you're saying, in that there's a certain destiny often, or path, that's already sort of more or less predetermined. And I say more or less, there's this old school argument of free will versus fate. How much can we change, and how much is just already kind of set in stone, so to speak? And that gets really kind of interesting with what you can see, and then what you can tell people in trying to get them to make some course changes. And there's an example of that where my mother and brother, I looked at their astrology, and they run a very difficult business, a nursing care business. And I saw a T-square in my mother's chart, and what's called an impending shortages transit in Western astrology, using an Astrodyne instead of the Swiss American astrology out of Switzerland on astro.com. But the astrology my brother has with a Jupiter square Jupiter at the time for 2 weeks, and so that meant impending shortages was running on him. It's running short on time, money, or resources. And then my mother, the T-square, that's a sign of turbulence. And so I kind of had a sense and an idea that there was an employee issue, and I had encouraged her to take on another staff and go ahead and get that person trained and ready. They didn't feel that this other employee would probably have an issue, because it was a family person, a family member, extended family. And in any case, what had happened during that period of time is that my the girl that was family ended up quitting suddenly. She had an issue come up, and so the other staff person was trained and ready and came right on in. My brother did not experience any 16-hour shifts for, 5 days in a row, and all the lack of sleep that happens in a situation like that. And my mother had actually gone through the turbulent time dealing with the results of a questionable medical test that came back okay. But during that time, the added stress of having to train somebody new, cover the extra shifts, and so on, would have been a tremendous stress on both of them. And that's just an example of looking ahead and saying, okay, you've got a T-square here. He's got this happening over here. It looks like he could run short on time. Let's go ahead and get an extra staff person in there. They did that. They listened, and they saved a lot of grief in that time.
Wow. So, you know, I've seen so many amazing things with the metaphysical arts, including astrology, numerology, and all that, that there's too much for me to study. That's why you're here tonight, and to give us some insights as to what you do and how you use it and how it works and how amazingly accurate it could be. Now, do you believe that we all has an indigo yourself? When you do like a healing or working with astrology or whichever, you know, particular thing you're doing at that time, that you are either channeling through or working with a being, an angel, or somebody of that nature that assists you in doing what you do?
Well, that's an interesting question. I can say that there, when I first wrote A Storm Warning for Israel, Spring, Summer 2007, I published that around May 17th or 18th of 2007 when I was in the Republic of Panama with my ex-wife, Yulia. And that came, that was so accurate that it's just, it was so scary. In fact, I later took it back off the internet. And because that's just almost unheard of, I think. And but it was very, very accurate. It was a 28-page ebook report, and using Magi astrology predicted that summer's war between Israel and Lebanon, and I think they had a signing, kind of an agreement to end it around August 1st. And all this was very easily seen in the chart. But I think that in a situation like that, for example, that was just purely me. That was my first work of that type publicly, and what an amazing thing. But I can't say that there hasn't been a time where I've had some kind of very interesting contact, if you will, you know, in the magical sense and in an evocational sense, so to speak, kind of more of a contact sense. And just, it's just some things just took place that would almost be unexplainable, in a sense that we could never, with these kinds of things that happen sometimes, we can never quite determine the coincidence part of it or aspect of it versus, you know, like that's exactly what I ask for, or that's exactly within the realm of that particular angel's specialty or that intelligence's realm of skill. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
It would be very difficult, for example, I'll give you, well, I don't know if I want to tell that one, but there's a lot of examples, like a handful of examples I could probably give, but there are things that happen that you would kind of sort of set out for or task that certain intelligence to that would just come about. And I would have to say, in answer to your question, I would say sometimes yes, and sometimes it's with no connection to that.
So in the Magi astrology, for example, you would evoke certain beings or use certain archetypes or symbols as a point of power or something to help you do this, or
with Magi astrology, it's a completely separate thing in the sense that there is, it's very scientific, and as much as it can be, they try to keep it very scientific. In fact, there's a lot of things that they haven't been able to prove, such as a housing system yet, so they stay away from those kinds of techniques in astrology because they haven't been able to, as of yet, prove them. That doesn't mean that it may or may not be valid. It just means that they haven't, at, to this point, have yet to be able to prove those things. So in a sense, the Magi astrology has nothing to do with the Kabbalistic angel astrology that I was talking about earlier. That's a completely different kind of a supplemental astrology, if you will. Bardon, when Franz Bardon wrote about that, he did mention an application to astrology in that one can take the position of the Earth's own intelligences and where the position of the planets will sit in the mundane astrology charts, which is to say the sort of normal or traditional astrology chart, so to speak, that rulership of that particular intelligence would be more prominent in that person's life in that planet's energetic way. So I'll give you an example real quick. In my life, using Magi astrology, if we take Franz Bardon's method of applying Kabbalistic angels astrology or that method of Kabbalistic angel astrology to the Magi astrology chart. In my case, the most heavily aspected planet is Pallas. And Pallas is in the position of the Earth Zone angel in the same degree and sign of the Earth Zone intelligence that has to do with the research and the protection of the researcher of the elimination of bacteria, viruses, and things that I told you that I'd done in essence around the world for some years and providing feedback to, you know, the Frequency Foundation. And so that was another kind of affirmation of the very deep insight that that kind of technique can offer, but also of the Kabbalistic astrology again itself in terms of how Franz Bardon offered the so-called adept application of that. So this is kind of an unusual, very, very rare way of going about it. And I usually don't do it for people because it's something that is very, how to say, it's so rare. I've only run into maybe had contact with two people that actually know about this.
Wow, it's amazing.
Wow.
And in a little bit, we're going to take a few callers, but I just want to ask you a couple more questions. Like, one is, what is your opinion on the current world status of, you know, the fields that you and I do and others that we know do, as far as, you know, the paranormal, as they call it, is popular on TV shows and radio shows, ever increasing now. But then science, too. You know, every now and then a scientist will post an article, this could be possible, or whatever, with, it could be astrology, it could be with psychic abilities, predictions, whatever. What's your opinion or your take on how you feel the direction that this is all going right now?
Well, you know, when I come back home to America, I notice there's quite a few shows and movies right now that are The Conjuring, for example, and there was a show in there on the regular television here that I noticed was about going in and trying to detect the presence of ghosts, you know, and all the different equipment that they use for that. So it seems pretty alive and well from my point of view. I've been out of the country for maybe 6 months or so, and I come home and it's just like in my face. So
right.
There's more
yeah.
believers now than there ever was before. Which is amazing. And then, do you practice tarot?
I have. It's been quite some time. I did a study of it and practice of it during that two-year period of what I would call the solo training for Western ritual magic. I would study the tarot and did the traditional exercises to do that. And I believe that really helped kind of open me up to and build my aura up to a different level of awareness, so to speak, and kind of a different energy from that. In fact, I went down and got a aura photography, aura photograph, and my solar plexus chakra at that time was just almost as big as a basketball. The lady running the equipment, which really, she'd never seen that before. And but in those exercises of the middle pillar ritual where you're bringing in the energy into and then vibrating that and then working with that, working to strengthen the aura, to cleanse the aura, and that was visible on the equipment. In fact, a couple of years later in Kyiv, Ukraine, I went there in 2004, and there was a very interesting metaphysical bookshop with the tarot and the books on other metaphysical topics there. And there was a woman there that was a specialist. She'd been trained in Moscow, she said. And she had me come to the back room, and there was the aura, not only the aura camera, but there was an aura video. And I could manipulate the energy for the camera, and so we deemed it worthless for me because I could change my colors. You know, I trained to kind of, build the shell, you know, to kind of radiate the egg, so to speak, of protection, you know, the golden white light. And so that wasn't going to show us the real and true colors of my aura when I'm doing that, right? Everything just went yellow or gold. So we went for the 20-minute aura video on that. And I just tried to go as passive as I could. And that's a photo that I could put up later that I still have. But it's that was a really kind of affirmation to me that there's much more to us than our physical flesh and bone. And not only that, you can see how your mood, or you can change that energy with your visualization or with your thoughts, with your feelings.
Yes, I have several oral photos. I've taken them so many years in a row, and I was able to be there, you know, specifically with specific, try to send out the energy, and they always, you know, pretty much come out different. But yes, we can all manipulate energy, and I find aura photography to be very interesting. And I also find in my research that people in Europe, especially Eastern Europe, seem to be more open to metaphysical than we are in the West. And in fact, they don't believe it exists. They know it exists over there. Here, we're just opening the doors. Don't you agree?
I agree, and I can make two quick comments to that.
Sure.
The last thing on the lady that was running this equipment, the Aura Video, she said to me after seeing that, she said, "You've got a very high level of vibration." She goes, "You know, whatever," she says, "it's very rare." She'd never seen it before. And she said, "You know, whatever you will say, whatever you will sense or see, people should listen to you, because you will have a tendency to know some things about the future." And that's the first time I had really, you know, been told something like that. Later, it would be told to me by a few other, you know, people with gifts, so to speak, or different gifts of clairvoyance or seeing into the future. But that was the first time I really had that strong of an affirmation from somebody with actual equipment, so to speak, that would say something like that. That was actually trained in Moscow for that type of use of that equipment and interpretation of that kind of thing. You know, like, what does it mean when you have that type of aura? That was very interesting to hear. And the second thing is that I did some weekend training one time with Bevy Jagers. She's not alive now, but she was a CIA remote viewing trainer, as well as she did a what's called a U.S. Psi Squad, where they would have like maybe a group of eight people. A lot of them were ex-judges or ex-police, and they would try to come and use Psi to come up with clues to murder cases or missing people and cases. And they had a rule, though, that they would never do mafia or drug-involved cases, because there was a problem with retribution with those. So I went to her training at her home in St. Louis, and she had interestingly got the home given to her. She had used a golden size circle technique for that, she says. But a client of hers had taken some insight on the stock market tip and went down into, I believe it was South America, and invested in the coffee futures or the coffee markets at the time, and became just wealthy overnight, and literally bought her house there that she had dreamed about exactly for her, sent her a check for it. But the point I was going to say, I'm sorry, I got a little bit in off topic, but she actually went to Russia, or the former Soviet Union, USSR, I believe it was still. And she went there for this research, because she knew and understood that they were far ahead of us at the time, because they were just much more open and without the religious constraints, so to speak, without this. There's a lot of problems with certain religious leaders or certain religious teachings saying that, you know, I was shocked to hear in Georgia from some Georgian friends, for example, that their Orthodox priest had told them that it was a sin to dream.
Wow.
And I was just blown away by that. I was so, it's sad. I personally think that it's, healthy and necessary. It's being human to dream. One of the most basic freedoms, too, if you will, is to dream. And it's absolutely necessary for psychological health. But they were under the teaching there that, at least from this one particular priest, that it's a sin to do that. So, but back to Russia, this is where Bevy Jagers went, because actually in that part of the former Soviet Union, there's a lot less it's not a problem to do this research. Over here, we had a religious issue. We had a lot of conservative Christians and others that look down on this type of research. And so that's where she went, and she brought back some very interesting discoveries from the former Soviet Union, or what was maybe at the time the Soviet Union. I don't remember exactly the year she went, but that's where she got a lot of her research from.
Yes, very interesting, especially when we found out that they were doing it, then Britain got on, and China, you know, a few decades back, and they actually, you know, our government did it in secret. It's a totally amazing story. I was wondering at this point, we're about 20 minutes left in the program. Are you willing to take a question from some
sure.
of the callers and see
sure,
how it
absolutely.
Goes? Okay, so the callers, this is his first time doing it on the show here. And just please ask one short question, and he'll give you his take on it, and perhaps we'll take another caller. You only have 20 minutes left, so Sherelle, my co-host and switchboard operator, is going to go to work.
Fabulous. Thank you. Area code 901. Area code 901, you were on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. This is Lonise.
To the show.
Hi.
Lonise. Hi.
My question is,
did you have
about,
a question today?
Yeah, Chiron in Pisces on the cups of the seventh house. What is that indicating in my natal chart?
Chiron in Pisces cusping the seventh house? That's in your natal chart, or is it someone else?
Mine.
You probably haven't. Okay, I would say that you probably would have a need for more freedom than other people in a relationship, but yet at the same time, the desire for family. And that would be my interpretation of it. In fact, it would be something of, you know, that you might find yourself dreaming about or more sensitive to, but also a partner that would understand that about you, that you would need at the same time to have your own space to be feeling free, but yet still in family. That makes sense.
Wow, that's very good. That was an amazing question that
yeah.
she asked, and I really hope that helped you out. Unfortunately, we
okay.
can't stay longer with your call, but we do thank you. We have other callers to get to, but thank you so much, and it's
okay,
a good start.
Okay, thank you, and I'll continue to listen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Michael, I didn't expect that. I mean, this person is very knowledgeable that just called in. And, you know, my chair almost went across to the other side of the room. I said, wow, what an intelligent, knowledgeable caller we have. I said, I sure couldn't have answered that question. I'm glad we have you here. And you gave an immediate, amazing response. And I think that's wonderful. I mean, that's what we have you here for, just to discover you, you know.
Thank you.
Do you feel like taking another caller?
Sure.
All right.
Okay. Area code 847, you are on the line. Beyond the Gate Radio
with
Dr. Michael Vanderpool. Hi,
this is Joe. He's not looking
Hi,
at
Joe.
People's hearts. Hello?
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, did you guys hear that? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We can hear you, Jill. What was your question, please?
Is he looking at people's charts or no?
I can, yes. I'm prepared to do that.
Okay. Can you look at mine real quick?
Sure. What's your date of birth?
12/17/1960.
Okay, and do you have any particular question?
And it's 7:45 a.m. Do you need that? Yeah, I've
that
just
might
been
help.
Kind of stuck the last few years, and I'm just wondering when things will get back to normal. Is that too general?
Well, without knowing the exact city of birth,
Waukegan, Illinois. Waukegan.
Just generally speaking right now, you're you're feeling like you're kind of, you're just not in the flow of things, yeah? So
yes.
I think that actually, let me look at one thing right here. I would actually be kind of optimistic because you've actually got some very positive things happening right now in your chart. There's not, you know, you may not be feeling it, and there may be a little bit of issue with money or feeling like maybe you can't get clear on what it is you want to do or should be doing, but I don't see any major problems here right now, except that maybe if you find more clarity in what motivates you or what makes you happy, because there's not a lot of, I'd say there's not a lot of drama happening here. And that's something that I look for right away, is if there's going to be big problems, you know, like very serious problems. But I'm not seeing that in your chart right now. And I'm looking over, actually, it should be actually getting quite positive, or be a period of time where some kind of new breakthrough or some new realizations come, where you can maybe kind of go in a different direction even altogether if you wanted to do that.
Okay, because you sound right on the money right at the beginning, what I'm feeling, you were right on the money.
Well, that's great. Good. We hope that you are on the threshold of reaching the top of the mountain, and it certainly sounds and feels like that you perhaps are, that you've been waiting for a long time, and you're ready to throw up your arms like, okay, come on, I'm ready for it.
Yes.
And I hope that these good things are coming to you just around the corner. And I, you know, this is his call, but as a psychic, I can see that, in fact, it really is just around the corner. You just now have to buckle down and be ready for it, know it, and go with the flow, because things will be better for you. And Jill, thank you so much for the
thank you
for the call. And we'll leave
you
on the
so
line.
Thank you so much.
So you can listen. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Michael, that's very good. You know, there's nothing wrong with somebody asking somebody like yourself, you know, for some guidance in their life. We all get stuck now and then. I guess the thing not to do is to call you every week to see, you know, where they're at, because you can't walk your path for them. But occasionally, if somebody has something legitimate and they really want to find out some answers, then they should call you and you could perhaps clarify it for them. Is that pretty much the way it works?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty accurate way to describe it, yes.
That's good. Let's see. We'll take a
sometimes.
Couple...
Oh, sorry to cut in, David.
No, just because here we'll take a couple more callers and then we'll let Michael talk for the rest of the show. But go ahead, Sherelle.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask, do you find a lot of times that people are just in their own way and that's their block, or do you find, or, you know, is that something that you find often?
I don't. It depends. There's such a variety of people that I've talked with or worked with. And, I mean, we do find that people think that there's supposed to be some kind of magical answer, so to speak, to whether life path is supposed to be, or that someone can reach out and say, hey, here it is. And it depends, it's so individual that and there's a lot of people that are already on that path, and the stars reflect that. If they're already there, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And but then there are those that are really despondent, and they're lost, they're going through a period of time. And some of those people do need changes like that. They find where their strengths lie, and it may be in a completely different place where they're at this time.
Okay.
That's great. Well, at least people can go online now and find a variety of help these days more than before. It's no longer that woo-woo factor, you know. And I'm glad that times are changing. It's really good.
I agree.
So, Sherelle.
Okay. We're going to take another caller, guys. Area code 561. 561, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
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 Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
Can we have your name and question?
My name is Stacy, and I'm calling from Florida. And my birth date is 12/16/72. And I wanted to know, where do you see my career going? Because it's at a standstill right now.
Well, it does look like it's kind of stressful for you right now in one sense, more inner, I think. As far as career goes, let me take a look at your chart itself. I'm talking about the basic chart. And do you know approximately what time you your birth was, by chance?
I think it was 8:30 p.m.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not that far away from there. Okay, so yeah, I think that, you know, anything that, do you ever work with software or anything that, like, you know, in terms of work or job or career with software?
No.
Okay. Well, I guess that for just, you actually have Pallas aspecting the sun, and sometimes these people are very good with their, you know, whatever the mind can do best, and sometimes that's software for some people, and for others that's investigating things, or maybe even being a detective, for example, literally, or even a psychotherapist or something like this. But generally speaking, as far as career itself, that takes a little bit deeper study typically into the chart, although I'm looking to find out where you're – yeah, and see, without an exact word of time, I'm probably not going to look at the moon too much, but some indication there. Have you ever thought about real estate part-time or this type of, like, real estate sales or real estate broker or anything like that?
No.
Okay. That's something that you might look at, and if that doesn't feel right for you, that's not something to, you know, that may not be your thing, but that would be something that you could look at if you wanted to. It's certainly within, or any kind of government type of work, in terms of working like in a government agency or working for the government itself, or even a non-governmental organization, that type of service work. I don't know if you've ever thought of that before, but that would be something that would be very very much within your skill set, so to speak.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was great. I hope it helps give her some insight. You know, we have sometimes untapped potential in other areas that we just haven't explored yet. So why not? You gave her some great options there too.
Yeah, she could do very well with non-governmental organizations or governmental work, or even spiritual groups or charities or things like that. She could do very well at that.
That's great, and I hope she listens to your advice and gets up and starts looking around and brings herself to a better place. We all hope that for one another.
Yes, that would. I think she'll be okay with things. I think everybody's kind of searching for when they're younger, especially, you know, what they want to do or what they want to try. And sometimes it takes the process, not just. It's more of a journey, not a destination, so to speak, with some of those.
It is a journey. I agree. I definitely agree. Because it's not just one destination that you're just going to get to and that's it. It's definitely a journey. And when we look back on things that we're – look back from today on things that we're doing or that we've done in the past, we see how far we've come. And then that would be – where we decide which way we're going to go now, what are our plans now, what do we do now? So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I agree.
So let's take one more caller, and after that I want to ask Michael some more questions because I know he just loves to talk about this.
Perfect. Love it. Our next caller is coming from area code 720. 720, welcome to the show. You are on the line.
Hi, how are you? This is Jane calling from Colorado.
Hello, welcome.
Hi, Jane.
To Beyond the Gate. Thank you. Do you have a question for Michael today?
Yeah, Michael, I'm curious to find out if you see anything coming into my love life.
Okay. Can I ask you what city you were born in?
I was born in Topeka, Kansas.
Topeka, Kansas. Great. That's not so far from where I'm at. And then I'll go ahead and ask you for your birth date and year.
Sure. It was 1/20/61, and it was 4:59 a.m.
Okay, I've got you in at January 1961 at 4. I want to go to 4 a.m. here. Give me just a minute, please, and I'll take a look at a couple of things. There'll be a couple of things that I'll give you here to work with too. And this is an interesting thing as I'm looking up her coordinates to put into the chart calculation here. What I like to do is I like to give people when Venus, transiting Venus, will trine their natal Chiron, because it's such a powerful dynamic angle for Venus to come in and trine natal Chiron. And those are usually days 1 to 3 days, 1 day before up to 3 days after, to go out on like a date or just good times with family or friends. But it's really great for first meetings too, with or to spend time on a first date, that kind of thing, for people that are single especially. And here in a moment, I can probably give you those as well. But I'm right now finishing up getting the coordinates in here, and then we'll give you kind of a better answer as to what's going on with those things. And I'll get you at 95 West 41. Okay. And I guess we'll start with the natal chart real quick and just take a brief look here to see if I can see anything that's going on with that in particular. And, you know, you're actually probably quite charismatic. I don't know if you've ever thought that or known that, and very communicative. You've got a Mercury conjunct Chiron that's going conjunct the Earth, and that's just in heliocentric sky of Magi astrology. So that's somebody that's really more outgoing and can even be a little bit charismatic or notable, but especially an excellent communicator, somebody that actually would like to communicate, probably to have a good communicative partner. If you don't have someone that you can have good conversations with, you know, that likes also to be more open or communicative, you probably wouldn't have a good match. That's something to take note of. Another thing here is that I'm looking at, let's see. Yeah, well, you've got a lot of energy. You get like pure energy. You're very energetic. There's a Mars trine Chiron, and that Chiron is conjunct Vesta. So not only somebody you can talk with, but somebody that you can do things with. If you've got somebody that's a couch potato, that's probably not going to work for you, or it would have to be an unusual kind of chemistry. I don't know if that rings true for you or not. But I would say that that would definitely be another type of characteristic you would match well with in another individual, somebody that's got the kind of energy or interest to do things, activities. If they don't, I don't know if that would be a good match for you. Also, I'd say you probably find yourself very sexy or have a sexy kind of energy. I say that because you have a Sun conjunct Juno, and these people are very they're very sexy. They're very attractive in that way, in that sense. And you were born with that. So that's something to take note of, and something that you can work with that not everybody has an abundance of necessarily. So in essence, I would say that it's not going to be a real problem for you to find somebody. And as far as those Venus trine Chiron dates, I'm going to try to find those dates for you to work with. That may take a minute or two here to that. Do you have any other questions?
No, it's just that it seems like that most through my life I've just had pretty much hard times with relationships, and I'm just hoping at 52 years old sometime in the future I'll find the one, you know.
All right. Well, we're running out of time, unfortunately. Is there a way people can contact you, Michael, if they want longer or more in-depth consultations?
Sure. I have an email at consult@universalstar.gs, and also the website at http://universalstar.gs, and that's actually http semicolon /universalstar.gs.
All right. And even though our show will cut off for the listeners, whoever's on the phone, or you and I will continue to record, so we go over by a minute or two, it'll still be recording and it all will be saved. And we just ran out of time, so nobody can hear us except for whoever is still on the phone and
okay.
Three of us. So is there any announcements you have to make or anything you'd like to tell us?
I almost hear, I'd say within a minute or two, we'll have those dates for her to work with if she wants to work
sure.
with us. I had a woman that actually flew on one of these dates, and she used it with this intent in mind. And she did meet somebody that she, at last time I had talked with her, was still communicating with, say, like a month later. And it's a really beautiful, fantastic, romantic, magical type of energy to work with. And for her, that next window of time is going to be, again, a day before, up to 3 days after, of September 11th, 2013, is one date that she'll be able to work with that Venus trine Chiron energy. So, again, in that window of time, one day before to 3 days after, is a great time to try to meet somebody new or to go out on the first date or to spend time with someone that you really are close to or care about or a friend or a loved one, that kind of thing. It's a really fantastic energy to work with.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you took your time to go ahead and pass out that information. And, you know, psychically, I'm seeing that in the near future, let's say within 6 months or so, she will have a new relationship. So now it's up to her to go out there and do it, you know. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're very popular. We unfortunately couldn't get to all the callers, but we got some. And everything that we witnessed today was truly amazing. I mean, we just want to have you on the show again. And
yes, we did.
We did. There was something in the works that we were talking about that perhaps if Michael was interested in is since I'm not able to do a show every Sunday right now, perhaps he could host some shows from here from time to time if he's interested in it. So if you are, we will talk about that and get that set up.
Yeah, that would be something we could discuss. That sounds interesting.
All right. Well, just want to let you know that I just don't ask anybody. And, with my experience and my intuitive abilities, which I've been using for a long time, I know that I found the right person, and that's you. So
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it, too. And it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for coming, and this show, shortly after we go off the air, this show will be archived, and even though the broadcast time went past 60 minutes, it will be available in its entirety from the time we stop talking here, so nothing is lost. So thank you again, Michael, for being on, and we'll chat with you soon. You know, we know how to get a hold of each other.
Okay, great. I'll look forward to it. Thank you both.
Thank you, Michael.
Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you to all the listeners for listening to Beyond the Gate Radio with astrologer Michael Vandenpoel. Amazing person. Expect to hear him back on the air again and hopefully hosting his own shows. We have a lot of plans in the works and we're really looking forward to it. So this has been the August 11th Sunday edition of Beyond the Gate Radio. Thank you once again. Sorry we went over time. God bless everybody, and look forward to seeing you on the next show, Facebook or whatever. Good night now. Good night, Sherelle.
Good night, David, and good night to all of our listeners. Have a great Sunday night.